PPI.org.
And greetings, and thank you for joining Disability and Progress, where we bring you insights into ideas about and discussions on disability topics. My name is Sam. I'm the host of this show. Charlene Dahl is my research woman.
Good evening, everyone.
There you go. I would like to remind everyone of a couple things. First, with housekeeping, thank you very much for those who pledged, by the way, in our last pledge drive. If you did not, you can still do it. Go to kfai.org. But thank you to those who did. And pledge will be coming up again. I think it's October or something like that. So if you can't do it this time, catch us in October. But meanwhile, we are bringing you new things all the time. And if you'd like to listen to our podcasts, you may do that. Ask your brilliant speaker to play Disability and Progress podcast. Or if you have a smartphone app, you can hear our last two archives. Or you can just go online and pick from the blasted podcasts. There's quite a few of them up there. And we work hard to bring those to you each week. Thank you, Aaron, for doing that. And tonight, without further ado, we have Mark Arneson. Mark is from Hadley. Good evening, Mark.
Hey, Sam. How are you?
Thanks so much for tuning in.
No, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Let's see. Last time I spoke to you, and it was a little while ago, you were Director of Brand Development and Learning Community of Hadley. Are you still that?
It's changed a little bit. I don't know. It seems to change every now and then. But currently, it's just Director of Community, I think, is what I'm going by these days.
All right. Good to know what you're going by. So can you give us a little bit of history of those who don't know of who Hadley is and how it got its start?
Yeah, it's actually a really cool story, Sam. We celebrated our 100th birthday a couple of years ago, so in 2020, which was, you know, we had all these amazing plans of how we were going to do that in celebration, and then there's this little thing that happened, you know?
Yeah.
But nonetheless, we made it. We made it 100 years, and we're actually named after our founder, William Hadley, and he got this whole thing started back in 1920. He was actually a teacher in the Chicago Public Schools. And he lost his vision later in life. He actually got sick, and it was right around the time of the swine flu pandemic. And so I guess there's some thought that maybe he had contracted the swine flu and in some way it impacted his vision.
Wow.
So he went from being totally sighted to completely blind in a matter of days, like over a weekend.
Wow, that's so scary.
Right? No, if you could imagine, his whole world obviously changed. And he decided to step away from teaching at that point after losing his sight. But he, like the thing he loved to do, and Sam, I don't know, you might have that thing that you just love to do, like your passion in life. Maybe it's being a radio host. But but his thing in life was reading. Like that was his thing. He loved books. And where I work at Hadley, and we're just outside of Chicago in Winnetka, Illinois, we've renovated our building and turned it into a little bit of a library or a little bit of a museum. And we've got these pictures of William in different places. And one of them near my office is him in his library. And you could just see the rows and rows of books. And he was a pretty smart guy. So he knew English and French and German. And so he's a well-educated. He just knew many different languages. And that was his thing. And as you can imagine, losing your vision had a huge impact on his love of reading. And so what he decided he wanted to do is learn Braille in order to keep reading. And back in the 1920s, not a lot of options for him. He was in Chicago, kind of a big city, and still really couldn't find anybody to help him learn Braille. And so he took it upon himself to learn, and he taught himself Braille. Wow. Which I don't know how much, Sam, you know about Braille.
I teach Braille.
Oh, there you go. So you know how hard it is to learn Braille. I mean, it even for folks who are new to this, it's quite a difficult task. I'm kind of dipping my toe into it a little bit and trying to learn.
Ah.
And I've got people around me that are helping, and it's still not an easy thing to do. So he can imagine, he taught himself, which is, I think is impressive. And, he was motivated, he was determined, and he learned Braille all on his own. But I think along the way, he talked about this conviction that he developed that he wanted to help anybody who wanted to learn Braille. He didn't want them to have to go through what he did,
right,
kind of on their own, trying to figure this out. And so I guess the story goes, one night he was out on his neighbor's porch, who also happened to be his ophthalmologist, his doctor, Dr. Brown. And they came up with this concept of Braille by mail. And they were going to develop, as a teacher, he was going to develop curriculum assignments. He was going to put together instructions, and they were going to mail them out just to the U.S. mail to anybody that wanted to learn Braille. And a woman in Kansas raised her hand and said, "Hey, I want to give this a try." So that was the first student at Hadley. He emailed her. Yeah, it's really cool. He mailed her. Sorry. There was an email back then. he mailed her instructions, assignments. She'd complete them, mail them back, he'd grade them, send her the next ones, and it kind of took off from there. And now, we've worked with over 10,000 students worldwide who have learned Braille through Hadley, in addition to a lot of the other stuff that we're doing now. But that's kind of how we all started, and 100 years ago, with William Hadley's vision to help anybody that wanted to learn Braille be able to learn Braille.
And how did you find your way to Hadley?
Well, that's an interesting story as well. My whole career has been dedicated to, I kind of consider it serving others. I've worked in social service and non-for-profit all my life, and it's been primarily working with children through child welfare services, and spend some time in adoption and things like that. And I've always been familiar with Hadley and their mission, and what they've wanted to do to serve and to help others. And our CEO of an organization I worked with actually moved to Hadley, in addition to my boss. I was inspired by their vision for what they wanted to do with Hadley and the things that they wanted to be able to offer the folks managing vision loss. And, I reached out to them to see if that's something I could be a part of, and I ended up here. So, yeah. And as an organization, we've been known as an academic institution for years and years and years. I think Hadley School for the Blind has been a kind of name that's out there. And really the vision has been to move more from an academic setting to more of a service oriented model, and just, trying to help in any way we can, which was kind of inspiring to me as well.
So does Hadley still have a school for the blind?
It's interesting, Sam. We've actually never been a physical school, and it's been a little bit of a confusing piece for a lot of folks. We oftentimes got questions about, do kids come there? Are they bused there? Are there classrooms? So, and that's never been who we've been as an organization. Everything that we've done has been distance learning, and we've never had a physical school. And I think what we recognize is a lot of what we've wanted to do is to provide any help that we can, regardless of whether it's academic or it's more, just some practical help for some of the daily challenges that come with vision loss. So it's actually never been a physical school, and it's been a little bit confusing for some folks.
Ah, okay. Well, thank you for straightening that out, because I was always wondering there. Because I swear it used to be kind of Hadley School for the Blind is what I heard it under. So what is your title now? Like, what is it called now?
The organization?
Yes.
We're just Hadley.
Just Hadley.
We started with Hadley. You're right. It was Hadley School for the Blind. And I think at one point we transitioned to kind of Institute for the Blind. And then we wanted to make sure that we folks understood that it was those who are managing vision loss, you know, maybe visually impaired, but not completely blind. You know, we wanted to help those as well. So we Institute for the Blind and Visually Impaired. But I think these days we're just saying we're on a first name basis. We're just Hadley.
So a lot of things happened in 2020, but in July of 2020, I think you released a new learning platform addressing the needs of, you know, visually impaired and elderly adults. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course. So it's interesting. We, you know, throughout the years, you know, we've been consistent in our efforts to really help folks learn Braille who have wanted to. But under the kind of the nature of being more academic, we also added many, I guess we called them courses. And so they were, you know, things like creating a marketing plan or a business plan or, you know, religion, or there's fun things like, you know, like container gardening or poetry or things like that. But we had lots of opportunities for folks to come and participate in some of these courses. Prior to 2020, when we launched our new website and some of the different services that we're offering with that, we did a lot of reflection, actually. I don't know, Sam, if you've ever just gone up to one of your closest friends and asked you, hey, is there anything about me that you would suggest I try to change?
No, I'm too afraid.
That's a scary question.
That's too scary.
It's a little bit, right? No, it, you know, we did that. We thought, you know, we were looking at and reflecting on what we were offering. And and to be honest, were we having the kind of impact that we really wanted to as an organization? And we had all these thoughts and ideas about all of that. But instead of kind of guessing, we decided to ask, and we just reached out to as many people as we knew that we could get a hold of that were familiar with Hadley, that had used Hadley in the past, and asked them, you know, what do you think? Where are areas that we can grow and change? And we heard so much great feedback. And then one of the things that I thought was super interesting was, you know, folks we talked to, they would say things like, you know, it's great that I can, you know, at the end of this 6 month long course that I've taken with you, that I know how to develop a business plan. But what I really need is help doing my laundry. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, I love that, you know, I can grow these gardens and these tomatoes in this little garden. But what I can't figure out how to do is to manage my medication. You know, those pill bottles are so difficult to read, or I'm having difficulty pouring my coffee without spilling it everywhere and burning my hand. And, you know, it was really the practical day-to-day challenges that people were really asking us for some help with. Even with technology, you know, there's so many advancements with technology. Over and over again, we heard folks talk about, you know, I hear about these accessibility features built into this phone I have. I just can't figure out how to use them or how to get to them. Is there any way you can help me with some of that stuff? And so that kind of inspired us to go off into this direction of really trying to provide more practical help for all those daily day-to-day challenges that come with vision loss, you know, kind of really help folks discover new ways to do things that have become just more challenging, you know, with their vision loss. And so yeah, for years of research and kind of understanding and listening and talking to different folks, we eventually in 2020 launched our website, hadley.edu, relaunched, I should say. And the idea was to offer, you know, just more practical help for some of the day-to-day challenges that come with vision loss. And so we kind of, based on, you know, some of the feedback that we got from some of our, you know, our former students and some people that knew Hadley, we were able to kind of really focus on a few different groups, you know, main topic areas. Daily living was one of them. You know, just some of the day-to-day challenges that come with vision loss, like cooking and cleaning and going out to dinner and, mm-hmm. and some of the day-to-day challenges. Technology was another one. You know, what technology is out there? How do I get it? And then once I get it, how do I figure out how to use these things?
Right.
Adjusting to vision loss, you know, we have a lot of folks that are finding us who are new to this. They've just, you know, been recently diagnosed. They're not sure where to turn, what to do. And it's, you know, it's kind of scary for them. And so, you know, what are some things to expect with this new diagnosis? You know, how do you talk to your friends and family about vision loss? You know, how do you ask for help when you need it and turn down help when you don't? And some things like that. We've got a recreation area, which is just fun things to do. We've got a working area, which is more kind of employment skills and things like that. And then we continue to teach Braille here as well. So we really kind of focused on these different areas to offer what we call workshops. And they're essentially little walkthroughs, 5 to 10 minute kind of quick little walkthroughs on very targeted specific areas. Like, for example, in our daily living topic area, we set this workshop on cooking. And within this series on cooking, we've got a workshop on how to safely use sharp knives in the kitchen, or how to pour your liquids without spilling it, or, you know, how to tell when food is fully cooked when you can't read the thermometer any longer.
Right.
Things like that, just very practical kind of tips or tricks or hints, I guess, you know, things that you might not have thought of, but are pretty simple and, you know, could make a big difference. With technology, what we, you know, it's interesting. That was probably the one of the biggest areas that, as far as feedback that we got from folks, technology is one of the biggest areas we were asked to focus on. I mean, as you can imagine, I mean, the iPhone has been a game changer. You
yes.
know, there's so many different features and apps and you know, things that you can do with something in your pocket that was never available years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so, one of the things that we did is we sat down, we reached out to Apple. We said, hey, can we work with you to develop these tutorials, these walkthroughs, introducing all these features that you work so hard to build into your products to all these folks that we're trying to help, you know, who are, you know, new to vision loss or managing vision loss, and help them understand what these features are, how do you get to them, and then how do you use them, you know, day to day in your everyday life. And so, you know, they were thrilled to work with us. And so we, you know, we started with the iPhone, and, you know, we just did things like, you know, how do you use the low vision settings that are on your iPhone? You know, what are you, it's like, how do you adjust the text size? How do you turn on dark mode if that's better for your vision? How do you adjust the brightness? How do you use, you know, the magnifier on your phone, which is a wonderful thing. How do you turn that on? How do you use that? You know, even VoiceOver, the built-in screen reader with your iPhone, how do you turn that on and off? How do you use finger gestures to get through your iPhone, roto gestures? How do you get to the notification center? You know, use the different apps and things like that. So what we wanted to do is just walk folks through what these features were, how to use them, and how to get to them and how to use them.
We were talking about your new learning center, hadley.edu, and that what you're doing. And, you know, you were talking about the updates or the little quick info. Would you call them workshops or whatever you'd call them? Just a little bit of a quick learning thing on the platform. But I'm wondering, so what happens? As you know, things change. So the iPhone of today, we'll just take that for an example, will not be the same as like the iPhone 4 or 5. So
Apple keeps doing that, don't they?
I know. Smack them. But they're not the only ones either.
Nope.
In retrospect.
Yeah.
Many, many, much, much technology does that. Changes, somebody once told me, you know, growth is optional, change is inevitable. So
I like that.
Everything does change. But so how do you keep up the platforms then? How do you keep up those little learning centers if things are always changing?
you know, one of the things that we everything that we do as far as our audio and visual is done here at Hadley. And so they're essentially like walkthroughs and tutorials that we're calling workshops, as you mentioned. And so so whenever there's an update, we just go back to the drawing board and we kind of redo you know, the instruction and update it ourselves onto the site. And so we have this wonderful kind of studio that we have here at Hadley. And so we have the ability to, in the moment, kind of go in, re-record, reintroduce the new updates and relaunch it to our site. And so we're continuing to keep as updated as possible with all the changes that Android and all the Android products, the Apple products, Microsoft does with all their products, and then continue to update it on the site as well. So the idea is to try and keep up with the technology that's growing.
Being a trainer myself, I do know that that's a big thing.
It is. It
takes a lot of time on your behalf. I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I don't envy the people here at Hadley that are responsible for all that. That's not me, but they're on top of it.
How big is your staff at Hadley?
You know, we're relatively small, actually. The organization is spread out across the country, actually. We have what we call Hadley Central, which is where I work, and that's in Winnetka, Illinois. And I'd say there's probably about maybe 40, 45 people that work in my office here at Hadley Central. But we have people that work remotely across the country. And so about half of our organization work in all kinds of different areas. So we've got people on the East Coast, the West Coast. So it's about an organization of probably around 80, 90 people. But about half of them work in our Hadley Central office.
Wow, cool. Yeah. I notice you have, of course, a board of trustees. And I swear I saw something called a women's board.
Yeah.
And what is that all about?
Well, it's interesting, Sam. That's a kind of a cool story as well. I think it was right around in the 1950s. William Hadley was running into all kinds of trouble financially. Mm. And I think we were down to about $500 in the bank account. And so the decision was perhaps to close the doors. But there's a group of women in the area that we live in Winnetka, that decided they wanted to see what they could do to help us out here at Hadley. And so they developed what we call the Women's Board, and it was more of a kind of philanthropic board to really raise funds for what we were trying to do, what William was trying to do. And they've been instrumental in really trying to help build a foundation for how we function here at Hadley. And then, and in doing so, they developed an endowment that has been, you know, kind of sustains us in the work that we do here at Hadley. So they saved us back in the 1950s, and they continue to do through all their fundraising efforts to allow us to do what we do and to offer everything that we do for free as well. There's no cost for anything we do at Hadley, but part of the reason is a lot of the generous donors that we get and the fundraising efforts that are done through our development department, and in particular our women's board.
So do you have to be a woman to be on the board?
I think so.
I'm surprised you haven't gotten in trouble for that one, but I do like it, being a female myself.
No, that's hilarious. I tried to get my foot in the door at one point, but it was closed pretty quickly.
Excellent. Okay. Well, good to know. And being a 501c3, yes?
We are, yes. We are
and so
501c3, yes.
In order to take your courses, is there a requirement? Can anybody take them? Do you have to have a visual disability? Yeah. How does that work?
You do not. No. So as far as the website is concerned, anybody is welcome to use anything that we have on our website. There's a little bit of a sign-up process. Mm-hmm. And we tried to simplify it as much as we could. We're asking for a name, a phone number, a name and email address, and then we just ask, you know, how'd you hear about Hadley, and what's your relation to vision loss? And that question, you know, is important to us, because if we can show a certain number of people that are visually impaired themselves are using our services, it does open up funding sources for us,
which is yes.
essentially for the reason for the whole sign up process. But we welcome friends and family members of folks who are visually impaired, professionals who are working with those who are visually impaired. Anybody's welcome to use the site. This is a little bit of a sign up process. Now there are, we do also teach Braille here at Hadley.
We'll get to that.
And okay. Sorry.
That's there, okay. Yeah, that's okay.
We do have on our website, you know, that you can learn Braille, but for folks who want to learn by touch, that is specifically for those folks who are visually impaired themselves.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So how many people do you think you serve a year, and are they all from the U.S.?
Great question. And first of all, it's interesting because, you know, we're kind of curious to see after launching the site, you know, what kind of impact it would have. And, you know, what we really tried to do, Sam, was follow the lead of our learners. You know, we're calling them learners, our students, those folks who are using Hadley, and just respond to their feedback and their suggestions. And in doing so, we took a little bit of a leap of faith, thinking, okay, let's see how this goes, you know, like yeah. what they're asking for. And we just ended our fiscal year in June, and we had about 25,000. We jumped over just over the 25,000 mark of folks who are new to Hadley and wow. using some of the services that we offer. So we were super excited. Within a year, we had, you know, 25,000 new learners this last fiscal year, which you know, is really kind of the impact that we're hoping. Now, I think there's still more work to do, and there's more people to reach, but our hope is that people are finding it helpful. The other question you asked.
Oh, where are they from? Like, is it all yes, from the U.S.?
Sorry, I get so excited. It was a big celebration for us, because uh-huh. we were like, you know, we really wanted to have an impact, and we felt like the 25,000, over 25,000 people that are using Hadley at this point was really exciting for us. But we are worldwide. And so the unfortunate piece is that all of our content is in English. And so, yeah, it's
you need to hire more staff.
We do need to hire more staff. That being said, though, we're super excited. We've been working with the National Eye Institute uh-huh. Directly to try and figure out how to offer some of our services in Spanish as well. They've been working closely with us, and I think we're close to developing a portion of our content in Spanish. It's a little bit trickier than we thought. We don't have any Spanish-speaking staff here at Hadley, so we've been kind of relying on some of their services and their help, but I think we're close to being able to offer some of the content that we have available in Spanish in the near future.
Have you ever thought about hiring, you know, somebody with specific language skills that could help in that facet yes. of your?
We have, absolutely. Do you know of anybody, Sam?
Well, not me, but okay. I have run across people who do that. So that's if, you know, if you were ever to start hiring,
yeah.
I might send them to you.
No, let us know. Our hope is that we could offer, all of our content and be available to, you know, a wide variety of uh-huh. different languages, in particular Spanish.
Right.
But yeah, currently all of our content is in English, but we are happy to send it worldwide. And so we do have folks across the globe that are using some of the services that we offer.
No, I don't want to get into monetary amounts, but I presume your teachers that teach, you know, with the Braille and things that we'll get into, that they are paid. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
All
right.
Yes.
So let's talk about your interactive Braille workshop.
So, you know, what we, you know, through some of our research, and again, just the discussions that we've had with so many different folks, one of the things that we learned is many of the people that were coming to us to learn Braille had mm-hmm. some functional vision, like they had some vision, and they were anticipating further vision loss and perhaps wanted to learn Braille, you know, before that happened. The other thing is we work with a lot of professionals who are working with, you know, students and other people who are wanting to learn Braille. They're sighted themselves, but are wanting to learn Braille to help others. And so one of the things that we started doing directly through our website, we have a series of workshops called Braille for the Sighted Learner.
Okay.
And directly through our site, you can learn all your alphabet, punctuation, numbers, currency, directly through our site. It's a little bit of a kind of a game. You can drag and drop things. You get rewarded for correct answers and things like that. But we're finding we've got some wonderful feedback from folks who are using our site to learn Braille. They say in a matter of hours, they feel like they're being successful in learning different letters and numbers and punctuation. And they're having a blast doing it, which is super exciting for us. they're having fun, they're learning Braille, and they feel like they're retaining the information as well. So if you have some vision, you're able to navigate the website, it might be a nice way to start to introduce yourself to Braille. We have a reading and writing series directly from the site.
So being a Braille teacher, I'm going to say, I spend my time covering my students' eyes because they do so much cheating with looking at the Braille. And then when it comes right down to the tactile part, they are so lost. So what do you do to switch over? Because they can memorize that, which is great. I do work hard to develop the memory part of it because that is half the battle, is remembering the dot patterns and the letter patterns and the contractions. But then you have to, at some point, if you're going to really learn it by not looking at it with your eyes, you have to switch over to the tactile part. And as you know, if you have done some of that, that is very different than looking at it.
Very different. And so we do have for those folks that are moving to learning Braille by touch, and again, the Braille by sight, again, we have a lot of professionals that come to us who are sighted and wanting to understand Braille and know Braille and be able to write Braille and read Braille. I think those are a lot of the folks that are coming and using our Braille for the Sighted Learner. We also have a lot of family members who want to learn alongside a spouse or a child, or, you know, and so
which is great.
They're kind of using the site along with, some of their family members or their significant others to be able to do that. We do also offer, a tactile series for those folks that want to learn Braille by touch. And it's actually, Sam, in January of this year, we just reintroduced our new Braille teachings, our new Braille series. We're calling, I guess our workshops, which we're super excited about. And we actually received a pretty significant grant to start working on new Braille education here at Hadley. And for the last probably 2, maybe 3 years, our Braille instructors have been developing a new instruction for our tactile Braille series. And after about maybe a year of testing it with different folks, we were excited to launch it in January of this year. We're calling it Braille for Everyday Use.
Okay.
And the idea was to start to introduce Braille at a relatively slow pace to give folks enough information to be able to use Braille throughout their daily life. That was one of the things that we recognized, again, as we were doing a lot of our research and talking to a lot of folks. Many people, they wanted to be able to read the numbers on the elevator. How do I tell where I'm going? Or which bathroom am I going into? Is it the women's? Is it the men's?
Right.
Like, very practical uses for Braille. There's one woman I met, Clarice, who was fascinating to me. She was a wonderful lady, but she was 93 when she started learning Braille through Hadley, which is amazing, I think.
Yes.
But she loved to knit, and she could no longer tell which needles. I guess they have different sizes. I don't know much about knitting, but I guess each needle has a different size. And she wanted to be able to label her knitting needles with Braille to be able to tell which size they were.
Gotcha.
She also lived in an independent living community, and all the mailboxes looked the same to her, like the sea of mailboxes. So she wanted to label her name on her mailbox in Braille to be able to read it. And so it was just very practical kind of daily usage of Braille that a lot of folks were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And so we introduced a series of Braille for Everyday Use. in the idea, and again, was, you know, for folks that are wanting to learn Braille, we wanted to allow them to have an opportunity to use what vision they currently still had in addition to the tactile feel of Braille to learn their alphabets, their numbers, their punctuations, and things like that. And so the workbooks that we send out, it has a kind of a couple of different components. The first half is a bold, large print Braille cell with, you know, the different, you know, dot one for A, dot one, two for B, things like that. So we introduce them to the Braille cell. We introduce them to the individual cells, the left and right side, you know, what the A, B, C, the letters, you know, in the Braille cells look like. But then the whole bottom portion is completely just tactile Braille. And so they can, you know, learn tactily and then use what vision they have left to be able to visually see that as well.
And of course, you almost have to stick a couple contractions, especially the EN and IN for women's and men's and main floor.
The
so
bathroom ones.
They will have to have a little bit of contraction stuff.
Yeah.
But,
so what we're doing with our new Braille for everyday use is the workbooks that we're sending out. There's also an audio component that goes along with that, audio instructions that go along with each of the workbooks. And so what we've done for folks who are able to get online, we have a website that they can go to. It's just directly through our site, but they a web page that they can go to and receive all the audio instructions that go along with the workbook. Now, if they're not online, they can simply dial a phone number and they'll be introduced to a voice prompted phone system where they can move along the audio instruction along with the workbook that they're using as well. So it's, you know, press or say one for to go to the next page, say two to go back, you know, say three to pause.
Gotcha.
So there's a voice prompted phone system that they can use to receive all the audio instruction that they use with the workbook. The cool thing about that, Sam, is that if you get stuck in any way, if you're having any trouble with the phone system, all you have to do is say zero, and it'll automatically go to one of our Braille instructors, and they're available in the moment to kind of help you in any way that you need as well. So we have all of our Braille instructors that are available at any time that people need them, you know, to kind of keep moving forward.
So are you still offering, though, the full, like, instruction as far as that people, if they want to learn grade two, full grade two UEB Braille?
We're working on it.
We
introduced this new instruction in January with our alphabet, and then we moved on to our number series, which came out probably in March, and then our punctuation series came out a little bit after that, and now we're introducing our writing series here in the next few weeks, and then contracted will come after that, so grade two will come after the writing series.
Because you used to have, didn't you, where people would kind of get matched up with a Braille instructor, and they'd mail stuff back and forth, or email, whatever, and they could go through the whole series.
The idea was that, you know, if your Braille instructor wasn't available in the moment, we wanted to have somebody else there that was.
Right.
And so we have our Braille team that's available. That you can dial a phone number and reach our, you know, any number of our Braille team that's available to help you in that moment, instead of perhaps waiting for the one in Braille instructor that you're assigned to be available. So, yeah, the idea was to try and be more available in the moment when you needed us.
Let's see. My research person, Charlene, she often asks a question or two.
Oh.
Charlene, I just want to check to see if there was anything you wanted to ask in regards to Hadley?
First of all, I did take some courses through Hadley, and Haynes, my buddy who did the gardening stuff, he's awesome.
That's amazing.
Did you go through any special changes during COVID?
You know, well, we launched our site in COVID, so that was kind of a special change for us. So in July of 2020 is when we launched our site, which I think was, in retrospect, a little crazy. Like, but the idea was that we understood that many folks, you know, they continued to need help with some of the daily challenges that come with vision loss. And during COVID, it was so difficult for organizations to get into anybody's home and sit down one-on-one with them and walk them through some of this stuff. So we really wanted to make sure that we were getting our services out there, you know, as quickly and as soon as we could. And during the pandemic seemed like an ideal time to be able to allow folks to access our website and get some of the help that they were looking for. But that was a pretty significant change that we went through during COVID. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you used to have things or courses that you could take to earn CEU, continuing education units. Do you still have those?
We do. So any of our Braille courses online are available for continuing education, so CEUs. And then we've also bundled some of our workshops. They're relatively short workshops. And so, you know, the idea was to keep them 5 to 10 minutes, very specific, very targeted. And so, you know, we had to bundle them in order to get an hour's worth of credit. And so through ACBREP, you can access all the different bundles of workshops that you can take for credit hours. But in addition, our online Braille courses are available for any professionals wanting continuing education credits.
And we're not talking about the little courses you were just talking about, but the ones for teachers maybe who need to refresh Braille skills or refresh those kind.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So again, the online Braille instruction that we offer, so our Braille for the Sighted Learner, those are all available for CEs, for CEUs. But the workshops that I mentioned as well, so for folks that want to use the workshops for continuing education, there's a bundle, so you can take several different workshops in combination with one another to receive a certain amount of credit dollars for that. And again, through the ACBREP website, we have all that outlined, which workshops are bundled together for a certain amount of credit hours.
Have you thought about doing anything, or have you ever done anything that might help people? Let's say they wanted to do some generals classes like composition or early math, or did you ever do that, or have you thought about doing that?
You know, and again, that kind of goes back to a little bit of how we were, you know, the services that we were offering, you know, prior to this kind of reinvention that we did. It was really more academic based, and Sam, to be honest, a lot of what we've changed to now, this service oriented model that we're trying to provide, was based on the feedback and the suggestions and, you know, really what people were asking us to do. And so it has been more in a direction of offering just the practical help for the day-to-day challenges. You know, we had a catalog of, gosh, I remember I looked at this catalog. There's literally like hundreds of courses that people could take. We had a high school program as well here at Hadley.
Oh, wow.
You know, we had many people receiving their GED, their general education, you know, directly through our program.
Right.
And the difficulty was is when we looked at the information, when we kind of took a hard look at ourselves, we recognized that we would get maybe 1, 2, 3 enrollments in any one of our courses each year. Our high school program, we probably got maybe 2, 3, maybe 4 enrollments in that high school program each year. And the reality was is that we didn't keep up to date with the changing standards of a high school education. And so the quality of the education that folks were receiving through our high school program didn't necessarily meet the requirements for most high school educations in today's, you know, standard. And so there just didn't seem to be a lot of interest in a lot of the courses or even our high school program in general, which is kind of what inspired us to start asking, you know, what is it that we're looking for? How is it that we can help? What is it that we could change here at Hadley? And again, the courses where we get 1, 2, 3 enrollments a year, folks are telling us, what I really need is practical help for more some of these challenges I'm facing day to day. And that's what kind of moved us into this direction.
So I'm wondering, having said that, one of the things that I've heard from clients who, especially now that during COVID this happened a lot, and now people are moving back more towards the classroom, but there's still a huge component, I think, of online learning as far as the college learning online, where I think it would be an interesting thing for you guys to hook up with, because there's much to say about the technology, the platforms that teachers or professors use online at some of those colleges, that they are just so not accessible or really a hard time for people to use. And when you get knocked back into that situation where you maybe have to or need to learn online, that's just really, really difficult for the visually impaired student. So I wonder if you had any thoughts of connecting with colleges and kind of working with that.
No, that hasn't been something that we thought about, but that's actually an interesting suggestion. We've worked really hard to make an online presence that is, ideal regardless of your level of vision.
Right, right.
And so that is an interesting, and again, what we do here at Hadley is a work in progress. It's so funny because part of my job is understanding how we can continue to improve what we do. Right. And things that we offer. And I hear some wonderful suggestions and interesting ones as well, as I talk to different folks. But that is an interesting, an interesting concept,
well,
Sam. Because,
and I know somebody who dropped classes because of that. She really had
a hard time.
Yes, she had a hard time, first of all, with the platform. And she had a hard time with the communication. It was so much through that platform that it was difficult for her. Not everyone's good at doing that back and forth thing, but they want, the online part was essential, I feel like she could have benefited having more of a tutor or somebody who was connected there to teach her more how to more easily learn that platform, maybe help her with whatever she was struggling, in regards to that and the learning component. So anyway, just some thoughts for you and maybe possibly.
No, I appreciate that. it's so interesting because we always consider ourselves like, people looked at us as like an educational, organization, like we were a school. I think what we've tried to determine is we are a learning organization, a learning institute.
Uh-huh.
But for us, what that means is that we're learning from people. We're not trying to teach as much as we're trying to learn. So we're talking to as many people as we can. We're understanding what are things that we can do to improve, where are things that we can change, what are things that we can offer to make, to offer help. And so we're open to all suggestions, and we're continuing in a learning mode of how to improve.
Now, I know you do life skills or daily living skills, whatever you'd like to call them. Do you do any mobility instructions?
We do. Some of our workshops are on basic orientation and mobility. Now, as you probably are aware, a lot of that stuff is much more effective one-on-one with somebody and in person.
Yeah.
And so,
and do you have people who will go out and do that?
Go in person? Oh, not on staff here at Hadley. No, everything we do is from a distance.
Okay.
And so our hope is that we can connect them with folks who are able to do that. And Sam, a lot of what we offer, our hope is that it is really kind of supplementing some of the things that are done in person and one-on-one.
Right.
A lot of times a person that's sitting there with you in your home or teaching you how to use your cane and things like that, that person sometimes has to go home. And so our hope is that things that we're offering will remind you of some of the things that they've already taught you. You can go back to it when you want, as often as you want, whenever you need it. To kind of remind yourself and refresh your memory of some of the things that perhaps that person has taught you.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what is coming up for Hadley in the future? Anything else new?
Yeah. So we've got some exciting things. One of the things that we've recognized is we focused a lot on, and again, this is really based on feedback that we got. People have asked us to focus on some of these living skills and some of these, the technology pieces and things like that. Community is something that a lot of folks have asked us about as well. Like, how do I feel like I'm part of something, a community, like I want to connect with others who are in a similar situation. And, you know, I know that there's different support groups out there and things of that nature. We learned that not a lot of folks have access to that. And so they're really asking, they've asked us, like, can you help me find other people that I can just talk to?
Right.
And so we have these discussion groups that we put out there, and they're literally Zoom calls where you can jump on once a month and join others in a similar situation and kind of talk about a topic you might be interested in, like technology or gardening or cooking or traveling or something of that nature. But we really feel like we want to build that component out, this idea of community. And so we are really trying to focus on how we can provide more emotional social support for folks who might benefit from that. And so we're in the works of developing a mentor kind of program, a mentor match program, and connecting folks who, you know, have maybe been there and done that with others who are new to this and trying to figure it out and might benefit, help one another, you know? So is there a way we can connect folks in that kind of relationship? And then we also want to offer more kind of emotional support groups for folks who feel like that might benefit them. You know, they're perhaps at the beginning of this, trying to figure this out, or just maybe just need to talk to others and be around others who are kind of managing this and be together. And so those are two components that we're trying to build out, is really trying to, you know, address some of the emotional support, social components that come with vision loss.
Great. Just wanted to check if there's anything more you wanted to cover.
No. I think, gosh, we feel like we talked a lot. We talked about a lot of the stuff, Sam.
Well, I always appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much. And hopefully I plan on trying to hit that little learning center that you have and see what I can learn about technology that I don't know, which could be a lot. So you never know. One never knows what somebody covers. But thank you very much.
Well, let us know.
I appreciate you coming on, and good luck with your kind of redesigning idea.
No, thanks, Sam. I really appreciate inviting me. You always make it so easy to talk. It's very comfortable. So I appreciate that.
Thank you. All right. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
About accessibility with the French Fest and the fair, the state fair for Minnesota. This is KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFAI.org.
KFAI.org.